Our scripture today comes from Psalm 55. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. How quickly I would escape, far from this wild storm of hatred. Confuse them, Lord, and frustrate their plans, for I see violence and conflict in the city. Its walls are patrolled day and night against invaders, but the real danger is wickedness within the city. Everything is falling apart. Threats and cheating are rampant in the streets. It is not the enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. It is not my foes who so arrogantly insult me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, it is you, my equal, my companion, and close friend. What good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together in the house of God. Let death stalk my enemies. Let the grave swallow them alive, for evil makes its home within them. But I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I will call out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me, though many may still oppose me. God, who has ruled forever, will hear me and humble them. For my enemies refuse to change their ways. They do not fear God. As my companion, he betrayed his friends. He broke his promises. His words are as smooth as butter, but in his heart is war. His words are as soothing as lotion, but underneath are daggers. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. But you, O God, will send the wicked down to the pit of destruction. Murderers and liars will die young, but I am trusting in you to save me.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here. I'm so excited to stand before you to share the word of God. I did not come alone. I came with my dear wife, Meredith, and our kids, Malachi, 5, Eliana, 3, and Micah, who is just 1 year. Thank you so much for your support and your prayers. I'm glad you came with me. Now, are we ready for the Word of God? I said, are we ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Thank you. That's much better. Mr. Stan Tolkien was a very successful 50-year-old insurance executive. One night, his daughter named Judy, aged 21, called him from her university and asked if she could talk seriously with her dad. Stan panicked as any father would. He thought of all the things that could be wrong. Judy said, "Dad, I have written you a very long letter. I don't want to hurt you. This is the hardest thing I've ever tried to do in my life. I want to read you the letter." "May I, Dad?" Judy asked. Stan immediately thought of a series of possibilities. She was pregnant. She was on drugs. She had run off and married someone. She was in trouble with the police. She had been kicked out of university. But since Judy was a responsible daughter, none of these made sense to Stan. Judy started to read the letter to her stepfather. After a long introduction, she continued and said, I have become a believer. I believe in God. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Stan recalls, I was speechless. Many parents might have welcomed Judy's words, but they absolutely crushed me. You see, we are Jewish. Stan tells of his reaction. Anger, retaliation, blame, and shame. He and his wife argued, shouted, cried, and blamed themselves. Where did we go wrong? How could any mother or father have loved their daughter more than we love Judy? How could she do this to us after all we have done for her? What do you do when a child turns her back or his back not only on you, but on your entire family? What do you do? What do you do when your daughter or son turns against the godly heritage, the values that you instilled in their lives growing up, and walk away from everybody who loved and cared for them growing up? What do you do? Stan laments, my wife and I felt betrayed. Does that ring a bell for someone? Does that land for you? Do you share Stan and his wife's experience? Beloved, I share this story to highlight the pain of betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed? Ever been deeply hurt or let down by someone close to you? Someone you trusted? A friend, a teacher, a parent, a spouse, your child, an elder, a pastor, or even the church? Yes, you heard me. I said, even the church. If you have, you are not alone. Jesus, too, experienced betrayal and abandonment by those who were closest to him. Judas, a close friend of Jesus, betrayed the Lord with a kiss. And the rest of the disciples abandoned him in the Garden of Gethsemane by running away from him after his arrest. The night just before Jesus was betrayed, he was spending the evening with his disciples in the upper room. And he made a painful statement. Truly, I said to you, that one of you will betray me. The response of the disciples was overwhelming. Is it I, Lord? One after the other. Is it I, Lord? And Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. The rest is history. Peter not only denied Jesus once, but three times. And everyone else ran for their lives. The people who laid palm branches in front of Jesus when he entered Jerusalem shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But they would later betray him with shouts of, Crucify him! Crucify him! And let the blood of this man be upon us and our children. This morning, we will look at King David's experience with betrayal by those who were closest to him. David wrote of his experience with betrayal in Psalm 55, verse 1 to 23, which we have just read. This psalm was mostly likely written during the time of Absalom's rebellion and Ahithophel's betrayal against David. In this psalm, we sense the extreme anguish and pain of David's heart over a bitter double blow of betrayal from a trusted friend and his own son whom he loved. But before we proceed, let us pause in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I stand humbly before your people to share the word of God. I pray for ease of speech and clarity of thought. As we delve into your word now, may you unlock the scriptures for us, open our understanding, help our hearts to be receptive to the voice of the Spirit and the nudging of the Spirit. May our minds be alert to the word of God. We invite your presence in this place. May you move from center to circumference, and may every mind be brought to the subjection of the Holy Spirit, because we pray in Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Beloved, the message I bring you this morning, is entitled Living Above the Pain of Betrayal. Living above the pain of betrayal. Beloved, to be betrayed is to feel the treachery of those you have loved and trusted. Their breach of trust, their defection, their deception, and double dealing makes you feel everything you have ever entrusted and invested in your relationship has been violated and lost or dragged in the mud. In one way or the other, we have all experienced the pain of betrayal. Dishonesty, gossip, and hurt from a friend or even a companion. If your spouse betrays you, the one with whom you made solemn vows, the one you gave up so much for and entrusted with your life, you feel double-crossed. You feel cheated. You feel abandoned and stabbed in the back. Therefore, you isolate yourself and convince yourself you can never actually trust or love someone again. You see, beloved, betrayal is a destructive force that leaves many ruins and debris in its path because it changes everything. Relationships and all those affected will never be the same again. Couples and families will never be the same again. Church family and communities will never be the same again because of betrayal. The damage done can be irreparable because trust is lost. Wounds run deep. Anger persists. Hearts are broken. Self-protective walls are built. Pain is long and lasting. And we wonder, can trust be restored? Do wounds ever heal? Will anger cease to exist? Can hearts be repaired? Will the self-protective walls ever come down? Does the pain ever go away? will I ever love or trust someone again? Psalm 55, verse 12 to 14, carries a strong lament from David after going through betrayal. David says, verse 12, "It is not an enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. It is not my foes who so arrogantly insult me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, it was you. Yes, you, my equal, my companion, and my close friend. What good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. What happened to our friendship?" He says in verse 20 to 21, "As for my companion, he betrayed his friend. He broke his promises. His words are as smooth as butter, but in his heart is war. His words are as soothing as lotion, but underneath are drawn swords or even daggers." Beloved, I know that nothing hurts more than the wounds of a friend. This caused David great anguish. What makes betrayal by a friend so painful is that someone who knows your heart, someone who knows your weaknesses and your secret struggles, someone who knows your longings and your character, turns against you and stabs you in the back. Michael Card captures the agony of betrayal by a friend in one of his songs, in which he says, and I quote, "Only a friend can betray a friend. A stranger has nothing to gain, and only a friend comes close enough to ever cause so much pain." End quote. Beloved, you and I know that betrayal hurts, and there is no fast and easy way to heal from its effects. Because betrayal is a gross violation of trust and can be one of the most devastating forms of pain inflicted upon a person. Despite the throbbing pain of betrayal, I believe that with God's help, we can overcome. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And we can live above the effects of betrayal. And yet, how can we do this, you ask? Well, I'm glad you ask. After David laments a broken trust in Psalm 55, he provides a clue as to how to overcome the pain of betrayal. And here's my first point. The first step to heal from betrayal is to cry out to God in a prayer of lament. It is unfortunate that in this time and age, we have lost the art of lamentation. There's a whole book in the Bible that has been devoted to the word lamentation. It was an old practice that people used to lament in prayer before God in terms of loss and devastation. Lamentation is an art, and it's a prayer. Lots of people, when they are sharing a testimony and they are touched, they break down and shed tears. And the next thing you hear is an apology. "Forgive me for my tears." because it's embarrassing to cry in public, apparently. But beloved, we need to use this God-given tool. In times of grief, go to your closet, lock yourself up, and let it out. I like going to I'm going to take a shower, and then I cry there sometimes. It's okay. You can cry. It's okay. You don't have to apologize for it. David starts out his lament by saying, "Listen to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplications. Give heed to me and answer me." That's verse 1. David took some furious assaults from his enemies and was so overwhelmed with anguish. He wished that he would fly away from his troubles. Ever wished that you'd fly away from your troubles? You're not alone. David said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and rest. I would fly away to a quiet of the wilderness. How quickly I would escape far from this wild storm of hatred." Do you feel like flying away like a dove from a storm of hatred in your family right now? Do you dread family reunions? Do you? You are not alone. There was a man called David. He wished he would fly away. But in the middle of all these troubles, David called out to a prayer, hearing and answering God. Beloved, we serve a prayer, hearing and answering God. When you call upon the name of the Lord by faith, God hears you. And then he answers in his own time. David says in Psalm 55, 16 to 17, "But I call on God and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in distress, and the Lord hears my voice." David makes an assertion of confidence and of trust in God. He recognizes here that his only hope is in God, not in the arm of flesh. For the Bible says, "Cursed is the man who puts his trust in the arm of flesh." My friends, when we are afflicted and we are hurting, we can turn to God in prayer because he is a compassionate and loving Father. And he is close to our pain. Psalm 18 verse 6, David says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God for help." Here's the kicker. "He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears." Psalm 34, 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cries." So, call on the Lord in prayer when you are hurting. He will hear you and answer your prayers in due season. We also need to allow our emotions to highlight the depth of our pain, the pain that we feel. When David was betrayed, he experienced anger and he wept. He wept. When you have been betrayed, You may be overcome with anger, grief, shame, and humiliation. Take time to mourn your losses. Psalm 56 verse 8 says, "You keep track of my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each tear in your book. When you are hurting, beloved, and feel discouraged, remember that God cares about you and he sees every tear that drops out of your eyes. He collects your tears in a bottle. He collects your tears in a bottle, like this glass of water. Sometimes it's empty, and then it's half full and half empty. And sometimes it's overflowing. But guess what? When this cup overflows, when this cup overflows with your tears, God will come down like there's an emergency on earth. Like somebody called 911. That's what God does. So your tears are not in vain today. When you cry before the Lord, just know that those tears are not in vain. He hears your prayers. The whole psalm in chapter 55 is a lament of David about his troubles and the horror that he felt as a result of the betrayal. We too can write a letter of lament to God, or even journal to express how we feel. He hears our prayers. Psalm 34, 17 to 18 says, "When the righteous cry to the Lord, he hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Not some troubles, out of all their troubles. "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Out of them all. Not one, not two, not a thousand, not a million. All of them. The Lord will deliver you from your troubles. Now, this leads me to my second point. When you are experiencing betrayal, avoid making any drastic changes, choices, and life-altering decisions. Here's a quote for you. Someone once said, "Avoid making permanent decisions and choices in a temporary situation. Remember, you are going through." It's called going through. Not living in your troubles, but going through your troubles. So one day, this will come to pass as well. This storm will not last forever. This challenge you are facing will not last forever. But do not make life-altering decisions that are permanent in nature in a temporary situation. Betrayal can turn your world upside down. When you have lost the trust you had for someone, you may be tempted to cut them completely out of your life. You may be tempted to go to social media, Facebook, and say something that you regret for the rest of your life. You may be tempted to start gossiping or start destroying somebody's life or start retaliating against your enemies or your betrayer. But you will live to regret that. Leave the battle to the Lord. The battle is not yours, but the victory is yours. So wait before you make any decisions, such as filing for divorce, changing your jobs, denouncing someone or your family publicly, because your feelings may change over time and that may lead to a life of regret. However, I emphasize here. Let me pause, collect myself. I would like to emphasize, if your life is in danger, be sure to seek safety immediately. You know how to call 911. When your life is in danger, I don't care who is doing it. Your wife, your husband, your uncle, or somebody else. If your life is in danger, call for help. Call for help. Romans 12, verse 29 says, do not repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. So we are thinking about revenge. Leave it to the Lord. Overcome evil with good. Two wrongs will never make good. Evil is only overcome with good. If you want to overcome evil with evil, you will not overcome evil. Evil will overcome you. You gotta be good, righteous, and holy. Go by the book, the Bible. Go by the book. I see a few of you watching, looking at your clocks. That brings me to my last point. First of all, I'd like to mention that you need to also seek for help from a therapist, a pastor, so they can help to clear your head, so that you may decide on the next steps in life. Here's my final point, and I'm landing the plane. Cast your burdens on Jesus. Forgive your betrayer and put your trust in God. Shannon L. Adder says, if you spend your time hoping someone will suffer the consequences for what they did to your heart, then you are allowing them to hate you a second time in your mind. End quote. A powerful key in overcoming the bitterness of betrayal is our God-given ability to forgive the betrayer. When we are unwilling to forgive, to let go of the failure of another, then we are controlled by that person. His or her every move and word is filtered through our hurt, and Satan uses that hurt to keep us in a cell of bitterness and unforgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that you are condoning the act of the betrayal. It means that you are choosing to move on from feelings of resentment and trust that God is in control. There are times when the hurt is so intense and the distrust runs so deep that a friendship cannot be restored. We need to part company in peace, trusting the Lord. It was good knowing you. Thank you for the ride. It was a bumpy ride, but thank you. See you in heaven. Sometimes it comes to that. You can't restore a friendship. But don't do it in bitterness. Do it with love, with a smile on your face. The Bible says that those who put their trust in the Lord shall be as strong as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. David echoes this truth in Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to stumble and 4. To cast your burdens on God is to rest in his promises and his provisions, releasing the bitterness we've been holding on to for so long. Here is a closing illustration. My second closing. A homeless man was walking along the road with a heavy burden on his back. A farmer with a horse and a wagon stopped and called, "Friend, climb in the back. I will take you to town." With much gratitude, the heavy loaded man climbed onto the back of the wagon. After a while, the farmer noticed that his passenger, although he was sitting in the wagon, still had his heavy load on his shoulder. He called, "Friend, what are you doing? Lay your burden down. Why are you still holding it on your shoulder?" The man replied, "I thought it might be too heavy for the wagon, so I kept it on my shoulder." Beloved, we can laugh at that. It's okay. But we often act like the same man when we fail to cast our burdens on the Lord. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, "Cast all your cares or anxieties upon the Lord, for he cares for you." Jesus said, "Come to me, those of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my burden is lighter. Come to me and cast your burdens on the Lord, for he cares for you." Amen.